Hare Krishna, just had one small announcement.
Today, being Janmashtami, is a fast day. So it's also a big feast day. So because of that, the regular prasadam distribution we do in the morning and at lunch will not take place, except for Mahaprasadam distribution. But the restaurant is open starting at 9 o'clock until midnight. So hopefully nobody goes hungry. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. First plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladeva, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe. And the eternal mother of this incarnation is Rahini. Quote, Because I am going into the womb of Devadatta, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Shesha Foundation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six Asuras, the Sudgarbha Asuras. Does this mean that the Sudgarbhas were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita by me in my unmanifested form. This entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarvam Kavidam Brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet everything is not the Supreme God, and he is not everywhere. Everything rests upon him, and yet he is not rest, and yet does not rest upon him. This can be explained only through the Achintya Veda philosophy. Such truth cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 1855, Bhaktyam mam vijanati yavagyaschasmitatvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statement of Shastras. Om Yadatinabandasya Vinatina Sharapana Chakshavan Maitangi Natasmashri Rame Nama. This purport is full of contradictions. It appears to be full of contradictions, as do most of the world's scriptures. Srila Prabhupada was challenged on this point one time by a professor who was questioning why amongst your own acharyas there's so many contradictions. And Srila Prabhupada very emphatically responded, there are no contradictions, but there are many apparent contradictions, which for those who properly study Shastra understand that contradictions, apparent contradictions, form an opportunity to go deeper into the topic, to discuss the resolution lying within. Thus, Mahaprabhu's philosophy is called Achintya Abhedanta, partially because he harmonized, unified, and synthesized all the previous sampradayas, some of whom emphasize more our oneness with God, some of the difference. Well, the fact is we're both one with God and different. We're one with each other but different. One in essence, in that we all come from Krishna. But each and every one a unique individual manifestation of Krishna's energy. So Krishna is stating in this, well, Srila Prabhupada's quoting statements of Krishna, explaining how he's everywhere, and yet he's nowhere in this creation. And in the prayers of Vasudeva to the newborn Krishna, he was very much emphasizing how Krishna is everywhere, how everything from the original form of Godhead, Gopala and Goloka, from his effulgence, expands all the Vaikunthas and his Brahma states in Brahma Samhita, who, by the influence of Krishna's flute, was initiated with the Gopala mantra. The influence of which caused the spiritual world to blossom in his heart. And by dint of that darshan, Goloka, he was able to see and understand and convey in his prayers that Goloka is Krishna's own abode. Below that is the Vaikunthas, Haridham. Below that is Maheshdham. Below that is Devidham, this material world. But everything comes from Krishna. This is common knowledge in Vedic culture. But before the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the depth of understanding of the intricacies and mysteries and wonders and the unique position of Krishna was not so elaborately understood. Our understanding of a topic can only go as deep as the knowledge available describing it. And the knowledge describing Krishna before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and especially the elaborate contribution made to the subject by the six Goswamis and their followers, left a rather incomplete understanding of the nature of Sri Krishna. It is a rather common understanding that Krishna and Balaram are incarnations of Vishnu, or we say avatars, incarnations, an English term which is inadequate because it means incarnate. Avatar means one who descends. And the Srimad Bhagavatam in the list of avatars lists Krishna and Balaram as avatars of Vishnu, which they are on one level of understanding. But after all, the major avatars are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The conclusion was that 18 times the Kalat, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swaham. All these avatars are either Amsas or Kalas. Amsa means parts. Kala means part of the part. But Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, the original. That is the last verse on the topic, which is taken as conclusive in Vedic scripture. Today is the appearance of that original Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all the other avatars, like waves in the ocean, expand, and are continually appearing in this world whenever there is a Gaudiya, because the nature of everything in this material world is that it deteriorates. And even when the Lord himself, by himself or through his agents, establishes religious principles, they deteriorate in time. just like roads or buildings or anything else, require to be renovated. So the Lord comes to reestablish those principles whenever they're in the process of being lost. Ten major Das Avatars. More elaborate description is given of the 22, but they're unlimited, like the waves in the ocean. But the origin is Krishna, and Krishna has unique qualities which make him all attractive, true to his name, which the avatars do not have. The enchanting melody of his flute, which irresistibly attracts his servants to him. The sweetness, beauty and charm of his pastimes, which are more human than superhuman, more natural than supernatural. And what is the importance of this? Because everyone is yearning for loving relationships more than anything. And whatever you have in the world, including all of the world, as young Kashyapa have, it is all an empty, meaningless, lifeless, dull void if you do not have someone to share it with in the context of loving relationship. And herein lies the supreme glory of Krishna's avatar above and beyond all the others. Ramlila being unique because it's somewhere in between Aishwarya and Madhurya. But Krishna in Vrindavan is pure Madhurya. What does this mean? What are the implications? Because whatever Krishna does has relevance to his eternally liberated associates as well as to us sadhakas. So on the practical level, in our daily sadhana, what is the importance of Sri Krishna Janmashtami? The avatars can only award a relationship of Shanta and Dasya Ras. Shanta, passive adoration, Dasya, servitude. The servitude is a very distant form of love. More loyalty than love. And that Dasya Ras is characterized by a strong awareness of the Lord's categorical spiritual supremacy and our own radical inferiority, which in Krishna's own words, as skillfully described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, regarding Krishna's reflections, his afterthoughts about his own lila. The implication of which was that he really didn't complete his purpose. Krishna was thinking, and he was thinking that all the world offers, worships me in awe and veneration, but love made feeble. Krishna's own words. Love is made feeble by reverence. And that can't please or attract me, which also implies that it can't really fulfill the deepest longings and aspirations of the living entities. Krishna continued to ponder how when a gopa climbs on my shoulders and challenges, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. That charms my heart. When my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, those words steal my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. So the gopa telling Krishna, you and I are equal, or that verse that Nanda Mahaprabhu cherish so much. Some worship the Vedas. Some worship the Puranas and Itihasas because they're afraid of material existence. But I worship Nanda Maharaj because in his courtyard, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Summum Bonum, is playing like a little child. This means that Nanda Maharaj is in a superior position. Of course, this is all illusion. Maya, which means either mercy, which means both mercy and illusion. And there's two forms of Maya. There's Yoga Maya, who spins her web of illusion with all these various spells that we can be friend, parent, or lover of God. Which, what's the illusion in that? That either we have to rise up to equality or superior position, or he has to come down to meet us on a level where we can have an intimate loving relationship. This is not offered by any of the avatars. It is offered only by Krishna. So what does it mean to see Krishna? Tonight, midnight, is the time when Krishna appeared in this world. He revealed this threefold bending form, which according to Lord Brahma, Nimanjana Charita Bhaktivedochana, can only be seen by eyes and eyes of the solid love. Knowledge of the scripture opens your eyes and directs them with the torchlight of knowledge to the process you must follow. Vaidhi Bhakti, Yuga Dharma. Following the rules and regulations of sadhana will not reveal the form of the Lord. It will lead to the love by which we can perceive him as he is. But what does seeing Krishna mean? Srila Prabhupada, echoing the words of his own guru, they emphasize, don't try to see Krishna. And when questioned whether he had seen Krishna, Srila Prabhupada was generally irritated by such questions, but answered in a variety of ways. But in general, emphasized that don't try to see Krishna. But act in such a way. Serve in such humility. Follow the process with such sincerity that Krishna will want to see you. Because it's only when he reveals himself that we can perceive him. Empiric ability, inspired by the desire so prevalent in the West to measure everything. And therefore the medieval philosophers and alchemists concluded that there are four elements to creation: earth, water, fire, ether. They knew there must be a fifth element because there is something that holds it all together. And they call that the quintessence, which they couldn't find by their empiric abilities. Well, they were too, their senses and approach was too dull to even acknowledge that there's a fifth gross element, which is ether, or space, which can also be measured. And then there's mind, intelligence, and false ego, which can be measured in certain ways. Beyond that is the creation made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And the very form and source of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, which is Krishna, who cannot be seen or measured by empiric abilities or perceived by the senses, mind, or intellect. So what does it mean to see Krishna? And Mahaprabhu would have darshan of Jagannath from the back of the temple at Virudhastambha. he'll be afflicted with such emotion, his voice faltering, his words stammering, rolling on the ground, hairs his frazzled.
Exalted and perfect
and profound. Awarding the highest understanding of Krishna, which is summarized in Aradhya Bhagavan Prajesha Kanaya Stodhama Vedana. Aradhya Bhagavan, the most worshipable form of Krishna, the most worshipable form of Godhead, is who? Dwarkadish? Mataresh? No. Prajesh, the son of Nanda. And Tadama Vrindavan, his abode, his personal abode, is Vrindavan. And the most exalted worship is that offered by the gopis. So you naturally want to know, what is the evidence and the proof? Srimad Bhagavatam Amalam Puranam. The other Puranas are influenced by Kamas Rajas, etc. The Bhagavatam is Amalam, Spotlight, Vishuddha Sattva. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing. And in his talks with Ramananda Rai about the Sadhya, the goal of our sadhana, the ultimate goal of life, which is the samamona, the quintessence. Ramananda Rai replied, Varnashram Dharma. And he gave elaborate scriptural support to his response. He said, no, it's external. It's material. It's good, but it's external. So, he said, karma yoga. No. Renunciation, a fruit of desires and results. No. Jnana yoga. He rejected that. Only when Ramananda Rai answered pure bhakti, free from all taints of karma and jnana, meaning devotional service rendered only for Krishna's pleasure, Mahaprabhu said, that's okay, but go deeper. And then Ramananda Rai answered consecutively, giving elaborate scriptural evidence to support every response. Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalya. Finally, he answered that the highest is Madhurya. Mahaprabhu said, go deeper. And Ramananda Rai replied that, I never knew that anybody could even ask about anything deeper than Madhurya. What to speak of responding to what is beyond that? And thus I can understand that you are both asking the questions and responding through me. And you're like a puppet master, I'm dancing accordingly. So if you bless me to reveal what is beyond Madhurya, only then can I do it. And then he continues speaking. And he explained the Rasa Lila, where Krishna expanded himself into thousands of forms, but each Krishna was between two gopis, except for one Krishna, who is with one gopi in the center of Rasa Lila. And when she disappeared, that was the end of the rasa. It stopped flowing, and Krishna disappeared to seek her out. And who is that? What's her name? Agarita Yaman. Anaya Agarita Yaman. Krishna has been perfectly worshipped by her alone. And therefore the rasa stopped flowing. And she left. Krishna pursued her. And then Ramananda Rai supported that response by citing these are the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Lord Krishna is ever exploring new uncharted frontiers of loving relationships. And he's sharing the joy of his experience with all his devotees. We know that when Lord Nrsimhadev took Prahlad upon his lap, he was feeling something. Some kind of parental affection. He was relishing that. So Lord Nrsimhadev, who was born from a pillar, ever thereafter, all the avatars had parents, not pillars. So, outside of Braj and bereft of the influence of Braj Bhakti, it's considered that Krishna took birth in Mathura, Kamsa's dungeon, which is true on one level. But in the gopis' songs of separation, when they're singing to Krishna who left them, Lord Krishna, this land of Braj has become fortunate and glorious and glorifies all the earth due to your appearance here. And thus in here, the goddess of fortune never leaves here. And we are your surrendered servants who cannot live without you. So kindly appear before us. And he did. So Vrijabhasis know that Krishna appeared to Mother Yashoda along with Yogamaya. But Vasudeva, who was so absorbed in Aishwarya, cannot see that Bhadriya form of Krishna. He can only see Yogamaya. So when he placed down his son, who merged with the son of Nanda, he took Yogamaya, he never saw the son of Yashoda, who prefers to be known by names like Yashoda Nandana. And Gopi Janama. Gopina. So this where this purport is going, Srila Prabhupada refers later in the purport to a very brief synopsis of the history of the Sagadasharas, who had taken birth from the womb of Devaki, preceding the arrangement of Yogamaya to place Shesh there, who was transferred to Rohini before the appearance of Krishna. In the heart of Vasudeva, which is also the Dham, transferred to the heart of Devaki, the goddess of devotion, meaning the diction means one who is carrying Krishna in his heart offers him to you to carry in the dhamma of your heart. And when Nanda and Vasudeva, they were such dear friends, Nanda and Vasudeva. And Nanda was always wondering if Vasudeva, you know, finally realized who Krishna's real parents were. So when they met at Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse, they were filled with such affection for each other that Nanda Maharaj, he didn't like it in Kurukshetra. He just wanted to get home. And every morning, first thing when he'd get up and say, today we're going back to Vrindavan. And then the day would, morning would transmute into noon and afternoon. This afternoon we're going back to Vrindavan. Tonight we're going to Vrindavan. First thing in the morning we're going to Vrindavan. This went on for 3 months. Why? Because he could not bear to think of breaking the heart to this dear intimate friend Vasudeva. Because he couldn't go back. Anyway, he kept procrastinating. And finally he couldn't stand it any longer, being away from home. Because Brijavasis, they can't live outside of Braj for long. The loving relationships are so dramatically different in Mathura, Dwarka, Purukshetra, but like fish out of water, they can't survive for long. So finally, he told Vasudeva that I have to take Krishna back today. And he told Ugrasena, if he doesn't comply, just order him. But he has to send Krishna with me. And you can see they were both a little reluctant. And he said, well, then I'll just go drown myself in Parshurama's lake. I didn't come here to see a solar eclipse or to gain some fruit of merit. I came to take Krishna back, which means to get back our lives. Now, Vasudeva was well versed in diplomacy. He saw that when he rescued Devaki from imminent death at the hands of Kamsa. So Vasudeva told him, I swear I will send Krishna back with you, but I can't return home without him either. What will my subjects think? I left with Krishna and came home without him? It's impossible. So then Krishna and Uddhava both, he solicited both Balaram and Uddhava for support. And Balaram said, Father, if Vasudeva has to go back to Dwarka without Krishna, all the Rishis will die. And then the demons will conquer over all the other kings, and we'll be in jeopardy even in Braj. Don't worry, Father. I'm omniscient. I know the future. I know what I'm going to do. Of course, I would like to interject here that Krishna also knows what each of us is going to do and think and feel for all of eternity. And therefore, we should choose in such a way as it pleases Krishna. But anyway, Krishna at this time was just speaking about himself. I know what I'm going to do, Nanda. And I can't change destiny. It's written on my forehead as it is on yours. So I have to go back with Vasudeva. But take heart, because I will soon be invited by Maharaj Yudhisthira to Indraprastha, which is not that far from Braj. Of course, he didn't go at that time, which really disturbed Brijavasa some more. And at the Rajasuya sacrifice, I will kill that thing. Shishupa. I'll return to Dwarka and kill Shalva. And then, before even entering the city, Narada Muni will appear with a letter. It is a challenge from Dantavarka to fight with him at Mathura. So now Nanda Maharaj is starting to get it. Dantavarka didn't want to fight Krishna at Dwarka because he thought, I mean, he'll be too powerful with the support of the Yadus. We'll get him alone and not kill him. So Krishna, well, anyway, he said, and then after I kill Dantavarka and his brother, then I'm going to come home and sit on your lap and stay with you forever. Meanwhile, any time you have any desire or wish to see me or feed me or play with me, all you have to do is close your eyes. And then Krishna turned to his Gopa friends and said, they'll vouch for me. Because one time they really wanted to see my Leela in a special way. And I told them, just close your eyes. And what happened? The whole forest fire, that raging inferno just disappeared. So they'll vouch for me. Anytime you want to see my pastimes, all you have to do is close your eyes. That's my promise. So Nanda Maharaj was somewhat satisfied. So he left that day. But all the way back to Mathura, he was getting more and more depressed. By the time he reached the boundaries of Braj, he was totally discouraged. Krishna's not coming back. He just collapsed in the middle of the road looking at the path towards Dwarka. And he was apparently going to just sit there until Krishna came, until he saw Krishna coming down that path again. So the landlord of that region, Maharajadana, was such a loving advocate of Nanda Maharaj. He said, "You don't have to sit here in the middle of the road. I'll place my guards here. They'll watch the road, and you'll be the first to hear when Krishna's coming." Then he turned over his whole village to Nanda Maharaj and renamed it Gokulpa. So when Krishna came back to Mathura and killed Dantavakra, he was sporting the way he likes, the way he normally does with demons to make it a good drama. But all he could think of was, "I want to go home." And finally he couldn't carry out the drama any longer, just killed him. And he started running towards Braj, and then Nidaratha appeared, enraged that his brother had just been killed by Krishna. And Krishna couldn't even enact the drama with him, just killed him. And then before crossing over, he took bath in Jamuna, and the sun was about to set, so the brahmanas had come to bathe. A very pure-hearted group of brahmanas headed by one very saintly devotee, who Krishna felt attracted to, and he asked him, because Krishna had an intuition that his father, because you know, they were nomads, they roamed around, Raj, "You know where my father's living now?" He said, "Krishna, he couldn't even go home. He could not face his subjects in Nandagra. He's just across the river in Gokulpat, waiting for the guards to tell him that you're coming down the road." So he helped the Ruka harness the horses, and they forded the river. And you know, some of the gopis heard the conch shell blowing, but Krishna wasn't blowing the conch shell. The conch shell was blowing itself because Krishna couldn't even hold it. He was faltering, and he had to use all his strength to hold onto the standard of the chariot so he didn't fall on the Jamuna. And then, you know, word carried like the wind. Mother Jashoda was just running everywhere, and Nanda told her that Krishna had such a long journey today. He had to come back all the way from Dwarka, and then he had to kill two demons. He must be hungry. And Mother Jashoda, and she started cooking. And they sent out an advance party, Purnamasi, Vrindadevi, Madhavanga, with a feast for Krishna on the way. But as they were eating, Purnamasi said, "Krishna, don't eat too much, because Mother Jashoda is making a big feast for you." And Madhavanga said, "This is not, how could we eat too much? What you're calling too much, that's not even a morsel. So, you know, I'll help Krishna eat here and when we get home, so don't worry. There'll never be too much prasadam as long as I'm present." Then finally, when the Vrijabhasa saw those two cloud-like figures moving on the horizon, he said, "Could it be?" And when the breeze changed direction and the cows caught the fragrance of Krishna, they surrounded the chariot and it was rocking back and forth. And Krishna expanded himself to stand at the side of each and every cow and asked every one of them simultaneously, "Oh mother, did you miss me as much as I missed you?" And all together simultaneously, like a big kirtan, they responded, And then Krishna came into Gokulpat. And he was amazed by two things. One is that the Vrijabhasas hadn't aged at all. about 100 years old. They hadn't aged because they were fixed on Krishna as beyond time. The other is that they were so bereft of any opulence. How can this be? Krishna, in order to guarantee your continued health, vitality, and conquest over all demons, they sacrificed all their wealth for an ongoing sacrifice. Krishna said, I can't see them like this. Then he remembered he gathered so much bounty from conquering Dantavakra and Vidaratra. He began distributing charity, all his opulent clothing and jewels to the Brijavasis, and they gave him their rags. And he dressed himself in the package that Uddhava would always send. There's something missing. He's looking around, all anxiety, and then one of the gopis realized, no peacock feather. He picked one up and gave it to Krishna, and he stuck in his turban. And they could not separate Mother Yashoda. She just climbed right on the chariot, took Krishna in her lap, the king of Dwarka, and offered Abhishek with her tears and her milk. And then when they offered Artik and everything they had to offer to Mother Yashoda and Krishna, they were totally inseparable. In the arms of Mother Yashoda, he was thinking, this is home. All of Braj is contained by the embrace of Mother Yashoda. But Krishna was very disturbed about one thing that he couldn't get over, because he promised to marry the gopis. And he didn't know how could he possibly do this, because they were all married, except for the very young ones, under the care of Dunya. So he couldn't sleep at night. And then, finally, Purnamasi, Vrindadevi, Madhu Mangala, he came into his room at night. Because Krishna was thinking, I can't resolve this dilemma. I made this promise, but how can it be fulfilled? These gopis are already married. So he was thinking, I don't know how to solve this. But the Dom can do any kind of impossible feat. So I'll just delegate it to the Dom. So Purnamasi Vrindamaranga said, Krishna, we know your desire. So you're concerned about the gopas. Well, what can a few gopas do to impede the desire of the hero who stole Rukmini amidst the world's most heroic figures and just took her away? Why don't you just kidnap the gopis and take them away like you did Rukmini as well? First of all, Rukmini wasn't married. And secondly, if I was to kidnap the gopis, where would I take them? They're not going to leave Braj, nor am I. So they tried to reason with Krishna in various ways until Purnamasi just burst into tears. This is all my fault. Because all along, the gopa parents only desire that their daughters marry you. I am the one who wove that complex illusion that they were married. I had to. Otherwise, you never would have left Braj if you had married those gopis. And then you would have never fulfilled your purpose. Yada, 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 masyadam, yada, yada, of annihilating the miscreants. Now you've done that, you can fulfill your promise. So they finally convinced Krishna that this could be resolved. Then Purnamasi went to the gopis, and they handed her a letter that said, if Krishna places more value on re-establishing the principles of Dharma than he does reciprocating our love, or if Nanda would be too ashamed to have us living in his house because of our reputation, or If the Brijavasis continue to condemn us as being unchaste, then we'll just give up our lives here and now. So, and then meanwhile, Nanda and Yashoda were more distressed having Krishna back than they were having him gone. In the Vipralamba, it was just as Krishna told them, and he said the same thing in the form of Jagannath telling Mahaprabhu, who was dancing before at Rath Yatra, that you think it's dreams. It's not dreams. Every day I'm enjoying pastimes with you. But you're thinking that because I'm a Dwarka, this must be a dream. It's not a dream. It's real. But Krishna's return to Vrindavan was accompanied by the eerie shadow. The sun of happiness was eclipsed by this dark shadow of sorrow. This is all from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Chanti, by the way, which he had to write because some people were disturbed about Krishna being with others' wives. So he did this to verify and justify Krishna's marriage, but beyond that, he exalted Parakya Bhav to an unprecedented status. So Krishna said, well, I'm home. I don't want to go back. I'm here to stay. But Mother Yashoda was crying. You know, all it takes is, you know, some king becomes inimical, or the crews declare war, or your children and wives start pouting and crying, or the Pandavas find themselves in some other crisis, and you'll go to save your devotees. What it was that was really disturbing them was that chariot at the door, which signified that Krishna could just take off at any time. He said, well, what do you want me to do? And Mother Yashoda just blurted out, get married. That will bind you so tightly you can't go anywhere. And Krishna said, okay. Who do you want to marry? So Nanda went back to Purnamasi. Who should Krishna marry? She said, well, Adanya and her group, you know, worship Tatyayani for that purpose, so that would be the obvious choice. I said, yeah, that's good. The Purnamasi just sat there very contemplative. Kind of reluctant to say what she was thinking. Finally, she just blurted out, Krishna should marry Srimatsudhara. And Nanda was so shocked. But she's already married. And then Purnamasi explained, now I've created this whole illusion, and I can also dissolve it. Maybe that's a very long lesson for some other day. But after the marriage, the gopis were very uneasy about having a socially acceptable relationship with Krishna. They couldn't get used to it because for so long they were conditioned to a life of Parakya Bhav. They couldn't adjust to being married. So Krishna asked Nanda, can we just go for a month-long puja in the forest of Gopalpati? He said, yeah. So they went to the forest. And on the bank of the river, Vishaka was so intrigued to hear Srimati singing that same song. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in whose absence I was being burned by Cupid. But my mind is not happy here, because here you appear as a great prince, surrounded by powerful warriors, and horses, elephants, and a rattling of chariots, and kshatriyas with armor and weapons. It's not pleasing to me, meaning it's not pleasing to you. So come back to that place we enjoyed in the youth of our lives on the bank of the river beneath the Batasi tree. And Vishaka was perplexed That is the song you use to lure Krishna back to Braj. Now he's here. Why are you singing the same song? And they heard a rustling in the bushes. And it was Krishna who was eavesdropping. And he said, my heart shares the same sentiment with you, but I would request you change the last line in the verse to say, instead of bank of the river beneath the Tulsi tree, say bank of Jamuna beneath the Kadamba tree. And then, I, who share your sentiment wholeheartedly, if you change that line, I will make all arrangements to fulfill your desires. My life is meant for your happiness. And that is best realized on the western shore of Jamuna, in the forest of Vrindavan. So let's go. So Krishna took the gopis into a beautiful garden. They were impressed at Krishna's horticultural skills. And he said, then at the end of the garden was a cave going down. And Krishna said, come, you didn't really want, no, it's all right. So they went. In the cave, there's beautiful rivers, crystalline waters, bridged by jeweled arches, and all pastoral scenes and storehouses for all kinds of feasts, and storehouses full of musical instruments for singing and dancing, and every object of delight, trees and flowers and everything. And Krishna was showing off his subterranean creation. Would you like it? Lalita said, no. There's no change of seasons down here. Let's get out of here. Okay, well, it serves another purpose because it'll take you anywhere you want to go. And the cave began to branch off in all directions. This one goes to Sanket. This one to Jalat. This one goes to Radhakund. This one goes to Govardhan. This one goes to Vrindavan Forest. Take that one. Came out in Vrindavan Forest. And fulfilled all their desires. And then they came back to Nanda Maharaja's palace in Gokulpati and said, okay, you know, we've made this transition now into household life, so thank you for that time in the forest. Are you happy now, Nanda? She said, no. What's troubling you now? I married, like you asked. I'm bound and tied here. I'm entangled, I can't go anywhere. What is disturbing your mind now? And Nanda Maharaj said that having you here means that Vasudev is living his days without you. And he is more dear to me than my own life, so his distress is affecting me. So Krishna, if you could make any arrangement to fulfill his desire the way you have mine, then I'll be happy. So Krishna said, that's no problem. He expanded himself into Vasudeva Krishna, standing right beside to show the Nanda the Krishna. And Vasudeva said, Vasudeva said, I'll go back to my father. But Krishna also made an arrangement which surpassed his father's expectation and desire. He expanded himself again into another form and told Baruka, make that chariot big. Because he had, you know, when he rescued Nanda Maharaj from the court of Varuna, and he was so amazed at the influence that Krishna had in the court of the Lord of the Waters, and he came back and told the Vrindavasis about it, they all began wondering, is Krishna God? And if he is, what is our destination after death? And he showed them all that in the Jamuna. promising that he would take them there. So he expanded into a third form to take all the Amsa expansions of the Brijabasis, the demigod, the demigoddess expansions, to Vaikuntha. So the chariot took off, Vasudeva went back to Dwarka, and Krishna stayed at Braj, true to his promise. Now when Krishna see in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, who tells us a very important thing about the appearance of Krishna in the Sagarbha Shivas. The story was actually originally told by Krishna himself. Because after Krishna killed Kamsa, and Vasudeva and Devaki were so reverential. Oh my God, who killed Kamsa? And Krishna and Madhava started crying. They wanted to get a hug. They didn't want to get prayers. So that crying, you know, brought back the half of Madhuri that Vasudeva and Devaki feel. And then after offering their prayers, Devaki made her request that Krishna, as Guru Dakshin, token gesture for Guru's grace, who brought back his son from the dead, could you bring back my son? Krishna said, okay. So they went to the court of Bali Maharaj. And after Bali Maharaj worshipped Krishna, and offered his prayers, and asked for the blessing that someday would just free me from all entanglement so I could just wander all over the earth, either alone or with your devotees, singing your glories and name, sustained by the trees and the fruit they bestow. And Krishna said, you know, I've come for Devaki's sons. And Bali pointed, here they are. Now the way Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains it, by Krishna pointing to the boys, by Bali pointing to the boys, he was indicated, Krishna, I brought them here just to be seen by you. See, all these tangents go back to the initial point. Don't try to see Krishna. Try to serve the devotees in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So then Krishna addressed them all by their original names as demigods, because they were originally born of Marichi, who's the incarnation of the mind. He's born of Brahma's mind. So he's the incarnation of the mind. And anyone who has a mind know that the mind has six offspring. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mana, Sakya. And Krishna explained to Bali Maharaj that when these sons were born to Marichi, they were good boys, they were pious, they were cultured, they were opulent, they were well behaved, but they made a grave mistake when they laughed at Brahma, even though he was acting improperly. For that, they became the sons of Hiranyakashipu, and then the sons of Kalanemi, who, when they went and approached Brahma seeking immortality, Kalanemi was so infuriated, he cursed them. You're taking shelter of somebody besides me? I curse you. You'll be killed by your father in your next life. Kalanemi became Kamsa. The six sons became the first six children of Devaki, to be killed by their father, true to the curse. Now this is all seems such a ghastly beginning to the Leela of the Lord. But it has a happy ending, as does everything related to Krishna. Because Devaki is freed. But what does it imply deeper in terms of sadhana? Kamsa represents fear of material existence, fear of illusion and entanglement and maya. Devaki is the goddess of devotion, who's always taking shelter of Krishna. And that fear of material existence. This is one thing Srila Prabhupada said about Western devotees. You got a problem, but you're not sufficiently fearful. If you want Krishna to really take birth in your hearts, you have to cultivate a healthy fear of Maya. And that fear comes and will liberate you. And liberate also that calm toward Loma Moha Madhamatsarya. At which point Shesh appears as the guru to make everything proper, to teach the sadhana, to purify the atmosphere, to cleanse the heart for the appearance of Krishna. So Krishna addressed them by their original names. He wasn't seeing them as fallen demons. He was seeing them in their original glory and position. So he took them back to Devaki, the little babies, and he put them in her lap. And she fed them, and they all went back to heaven. Because it's not explicitly revealed, but it's deciphered by inference, that Devaki had breastfed Krishna for the journey to Gokula, because that milk was Mahaprasad. When her other children drank it later, they were reinstated in their original positions and awakened to their original identities. And Srila Shukadeva Goswami says that anyone who hears this lila and fixes their mind upon Krishna will attain his eternal abode when they quit this material tabernacle. And that is what Krishna says also in Bhagavad Gita. The one who properly understands Janma karma, not like our Janma karma. Janma karma chame, maya. Divyam, divine Janma karma, never has to take birth in this material world, but returns to his eternal abode. Because understanding is not academic, it's not empiric. Our understanding only goes as far as knowing that the sadhana is the path we have to follow. But the true understanding comes when Krishna reveals himself, when he wants to see us, because we have followed that path properly. So the path was given, was revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed by Srila Prabhupada, and simply following that path, which is like an ark, taking us across all the storms that come to you, but one fine morning we will wake up, and by the arrangement of Purnamasi, Krishna will address each and every one of us as my dear friend, or perhaps my dear mother or father, possibly my dear beloved Gopi. And then you'll understand what Bhagavad Gita means when it says, time of awakening for conditioned souls is darkness to the sadhus. But the time of awakening for the introspective sage is nighttime to the conditioned souls. When we awake in Vrindavan, this whole material experience will be revealed as it truly is, a dream, pretty much a bad dream, with a happy ending if we take shelter of Krishna. So the day of Krishna's appearance, Krishna Janmashtami, is surcharged with such pure spiritual potency to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. She takes advantage of the opportunities to serve and not get distracted by mundane anything, and prepare our minds and hearts for the midnight hour. With the aspiration if we have sufficient fear of material existence, we take adequate shelter in the process of bhakti, Krishna will awaken our dormant spiritual senses and appear within our hearts. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? That's one of many responses he gave. He also said, yes, I've seen God. You've seen God. You've seen the sun. You've seen the moon. Those are his eyes. But even when he answered the question, it was to support that doctrine. You can't really see Krishna. He reveals himself and we get ourselves out of the way. Well, you have to look at it in context of the whole process of sadhana. Lord Chaitanya revealed the process, but it was still inexplicable until the six Goswamis codified it and organized it into a system of sadhana. So worship of Lord Chaitanya means you're worshiping the Yuga Avatar by the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan. And that worship is performed in Shanta and Dasya Ras. When our spiritual master is representative of God, is also worshiped in Shanta and Dasya Ras. But when we develop, when Avaidhi Bhakti develops into Raghunu, which is not a different thing, it's just a deeper level of the same thing, then Mahaprabhu of Nadia becomes Radha and Krishna of Vrindavan, and Purnamasi reveals our rasa as one of Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. At that point, spiritual master is realized as representative of Baladeva and or Srimati Radharani as a resident of Braj. And we follow in his footsteps in a less reverential mood. But actual guru-disciple relationship remains one of dasya. Although, since spiritual master is a resident of Vrindavan, when we take up residence in Vrindavan, it will be a different relationship. But as far as guru-disciple relationship goes, it is dasyas. With some sentiment of vatsalya also, because gurudev is like father. But basically it's dasyas. But when it's revealed that we're all residents of Vrindavan, it'll assume a different flavor. Yes, microphone is here. No more questions? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.